I love the way that last song marries together the two concepts of love. One is that God is love, and the other is the instruction to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your strength and your mind, how those mesh together and they come together. What we see illustrated from God is his love and his grace and his mercy in response. What he asks from us is that we love him, that we give ourselves to him. A beautiful thought expressed in the words of that song. Young people, you love on Christmas Day or on your birthday opening up some amazing gift. Something that you've wanted. It comes in some big box and you're all excited about it. And of course, as parents, we're excited to give this gift. And they open it and they look at it and they want to play with it. And you think, oh, we have to put it together. Every parent knows what I'm talking about. And so what do? We try to not do it for as long as possible. But then when we actually are going to put the gift together, if we are smart or we've been through this before, we dig in there and we get the instructions out. Because we've all done it before without the instructions. And we know how that ends up. I was excited myself one time about something that came in the mail. I ordered a Weber grill. I'm sure all the guys are excited about that. Got the box, and I worked to get it inside, and we began to put it together, and we did try to follow the instructions a little bit, but I wanted to get it done quickly, and so we got halfway through the process, and I realized I had connected one thing to another thing, and I hadn't done it exactly like they said, and so now I had to undo a fourth of what I had done and start over. Instructions are pretty important. And when we don't follow the instructions, things go very poorly sometimes. And so tonight I want to do a little temple building, as Jeff called it this morning, and thinking about what it looks like to do things God's way, what it looks like to think about things in the way that God would have us to think, and to help us in this process of building the temple, as he encouraged all of us, and especially our young people, those who are going to be going away to other places, to think critically about this idea of being temple builders. And so I want us to think about that concept tonight. And I want to begin in Acts chapter 2, in verse 42, a text that many of you will be very familiar with. And I want to begin with this basic concept that is mentioned here. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching," or I might say doctrine, "and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Real simple idea here that these Christians on Pentecost, they come there and they hear this sermon preached by Peter and the other apostles as it's dispersed to them in their various languages. And many of them believe, and they come and they're baptized for the remission of their sins, and they're added to the congregation, to the Lord's body. And what it tells us is happening here is they're continuing in the apostles' teaching. I thought it was Jesus' teaching. What does he mean here, the apostles' teaching? There's a lot of confusion in our world today about how to do the will of God, understanding things like authority and how we are to please God in all aspects of life, whether it's worship like we're doing here or just in daily living. And so people say, I want to follow Jesus. Well, what does that mean that we're going to follow Jesus? I want to investigate that a little bit tonight with this idea of the apostles' teaching. It's the apostles who are giving the word of God, or giving the will of God to these early Christians, to the ones who believed on the day of Pentecost. And now they come together to form this first congregation, this first body of God's believers. So I want to make the statement, and I want it to be very clear. As we think about this idea of how do we understand the will of God and how do we know what God wants from us, I want us to understand that the apostles are the foundation of Christian teaching. They're the foundation of it all. And so someone can say, well, I just want to follow the words of Jesus, or I want to just be like Jesus was, or I just want to have the attitude of Jesus or the mind of Jesus, or however they want to phrase it. But I want us to understand this. The only way they're ever going to understand any of that is from what the apostles gave us as they delivered the will of God. And I plan to prove to you tonight that the apostles are very aware of that. They understand fairly clearly, I believe, their mission and what God intended for them to do. That early Christians are pretty aware of this reality. That the apostles have this level of authority that it's been granted to them in a very special way so that they can disperse and dispense the will of God and make known his will to all men and to all nations so that they can make disciples of all nations, a text you're familiar with in Matthew 28. He says, I want you to teach them. I want you to command them to observe everything I have commanded you. He has a special relationship, Jesus does, with his disciples, with the ones whom he had chosen. And they had a job to do. They had a mission to fulfill, a very specific mission, to go out into the world and to accomplish the spreading of this gospel message. And part of this, part of this mission, part of what is granted to them is this special authority from Jesus to be his witnesses and to teach his people. The apostles, they have this very specific role, a very powerful role, that is granted to them from the hands and from the mouth of Jesus himself. That they're going to go into the world and they're going to let everyone know the gospel message. They're going to tell everyone what is the plan of God. They're going to teach all men and they're going to instruct all men. They're going to tell them about Jesus. They're going to testify to his resurrection. They're going to spread the gospel and all who will hear them and what they say by the power of the Holy Spirit. And all who believe will be saved. So let's talk about that for just a minute. The apostles and their special authority from Jesus Christ. They had supernatural guidance into truth. This is just a reality from the biblical text. If you look at John 14 through 16, and we can't read all three chapters tonight, but if you were to read through that section, you would see a very special type of direction that Jesus is giving to his disciples. He's having a private conversation with them, and he's telling them all kinds of things that they need to hear. Some of these things are very general and relate to the world in general and to Christianity in general, all those who are going to follow him. But much of what we find in John 14 through 16 is very specific to the disciples, what their role is going to be, what they're going to accomplish. The fact that he is not just abandoning them, but he is going to give them a helper. He's going to give them a comfort. He's going to give them an advocate, which we know as the Holy Spirit. That's what we often call it. And the Spirit is going to help them along the way. And through this entire conversation from John 14 through 16, let me break down just a few points for you. He says, I've been with you this whole time. I've been telling you lots of things. Some of these things you're not going to remember, and the Spirit's going to help you remember these things. But I've been telling you lots of things all along the way, and now you're going to go and reveal many of these things to the world. But I'm not going to abandon you. For now, I've been with you, and you could speak to me. But there's going to come a time when I'm going to go away, and you're going to ask things of the Father in my name, and he's going to grant you what you ask. In chapter 14, this specifically deals with miracles. He's talking about the works that he had done and said, at least believe the works that I have done, and if you believe, you will do greater works than these. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will grant to you. They're going to have special power. And this power is going to be used in a very specific way to show their authority as they go into the world and they preach the message and they convict and they convince people of this gospel, this good news. And then there's chapter 16 and verse 12. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He's talking here to the disciples. regarding their special role and what they're going to accomplish. He's been talking all along with them about his relationship with them and that he's now going to depart. He's going to talk more about this in a little while, saying, I'm going to go away and you're going to sorrow for a little while, but I'm going to come back. And when you see me again, you're going to have a joy that nobody can take away. It's going to be like that mother who is in labor and is in pain, but when she sees the child, she's going to have this great joy. And as he's speaking to the disciples, he said, this is what it's going to be like for you. I'm going to be taken away for a short time, and you're going to have this great sorrow. But when you see me again, there's going to be this wonderful joy. And no one is going to be able to take that away from you. Your hearts will rejoice, he says. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. They're going to have this mission to accomplish. And they were going to go out into the world, and they were going to teach people about Jesus. They were going to bear witness to his name. The idea of witness or testimony is actually very specific in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts. I don't have time to go in depth on that this evening, but I will point out a couple verses to you that relate to some of what we're talking about tonight. In our world, people talk about witnessing. Or maybe giving a testimony, and they're talking about maybe how they came to Jesus or how they were saved. And that's not really the idea of witnessing that we see in Luke, particularly Luke 24 and Acts 1 and following. And let me just give you a few examples of this, just to show the specific mission and role that the apostles have in a way that I do not have and that you do not have, that no one else has. It was very specific to them. In Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 8, but you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. In chapter 2, there's a couple instances of this. As he's preaching, Peter says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, I believe, speaking of the apostles. In chapter 4, in verse 33, chapter 4 and verse 33, there's actually a few more in between these two, but 4:33 is a really good one. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony or their witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. Very specific sort of role that they have. They're bearing witness to the world about Jesus and who he is and the good news of salvation and grace. Because Jesus had granted them special authority. To such an extent that they are able to go out and establish traditions among brethren. They are able to go out and form local congregations. He gives them the ability to bind things on earth that have been bound in heaven and loose things on earth that have been loosed in heaven, as we see in Matthew chapter 16. I want you to come and read that passage with me. It is following Peter's confession in Matthew chapter 16 that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you will remember he responds, upon this rock you will build my church. And certainly he is using some play on words there with Peter's name, but really the concept ultimately applies to all the apostles. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever shall have been bound in heaven shall be bound in earth. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been bound in heaven. This is a pattern. This is the idea. The apostles are not necessarily going out and making their own rules and their own laws. The concept is they are being guided into all truth, as we're told in John. And the truth and the reality of God's will is revealed to them. And what is bound in heaven is now going to be bound on earth. And what is loosed in heaven is now going to be loosed on earth. They're going to instruct and teach people what God wants. That's the basic point. They've been given that specific role, and they are chosen very specifically for this. Matthew 28, which I referenced earlier, is a commission to these men. Indirectly, we also take these words and we realize we have a general responsibility to teach the world about Jesus Christ. But let us not forget, in the very beginning, it was given specifically to the disciples. That they are to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Jesus spoke with them individually. Jesus walked with them, and he talked with them. He had a relationship with them. They were his disciples, and the fact that they were with him daily, and they heard him speak words from his mouth, and they're taking the words that are coming from his mouth, and they are going to then deliver these to the world. That was his mission for them. They were his witnesses. They were going to bear witness of Jesus Christ. They were going to reveal the pattern. Now, this has happened before. One of the things I took from Jeff's sermon this morning was that these stories, and someone in my Bible class this morning mentioned this as well, that these stories just keep happening over and over again. And Randy's talk on Wednesday night kind of recognized that idea about how we find our way into the story of God, and we see the stories of the Old Testament, the stories of the New Testament, and then being happening in our life. Again, they were persecuted, and they had to stand strong. We face persecution at times, and we have to stand strong. It's the same stories manifesting themselves in different ways. Moses goes on the mountain, and God speaks with him. He is commissioned to then go down to the people of Israel and to begin building a tabernacle, to establish law, to help them understand their covenant and their relationship with God. And he numerous times refers to the pattern I've given you on the mountain. Moses, you take this and you build it according to the pattern. According to what you saw on the mountain, Moses goes and he speaks with God, and he has a very special role to then go down to God's people and to reveal to them what they are supposed to do. And I would suggest to you, in a very similar sort of way now, he has chosen. He has made this choice to take these men, and he has now given them this authority to now speak by the power of God to the Holy Spirit, as we looked at in John 14 through 16, and now reveal the mind of God to the world. And when they do so, it will convict of sin. It will bring grace and salvation. And many will reject it. But there will be some who receive it. The apostles, I believe, clearly understood this mission that they had. The reality that they are the foundation of what we see. For one thing, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter, around verse 20, this statement is made. You are no longer strangers and aliens, he's saying really to those who are Gentiles, but you are fellow citizens with the holy ones, with the saints, and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He understands they're building something here. And as he's writing to them, there's something that's being constructed. Peter's going to talk about it as them being living stones who are also being built into this house. And part of how this works is that the apostles are the foundation. They're the way in which they understand and they know how to please God. He's going to go on to talk about that. Discern how to be pleasing to the Lord, he's going to say in chapter 5 as he continues this letter in the book of Ephesians. Paul is writing to them so they understand his knowledge, the revelation that was given to him in Ephesians chapter 3. And without that, they would not know what God wants. He makes that very plain in Ephesians the 3rd chapter. He's revealing his insight, his knowledge, and to the will of God. Or maybe Romans chapter 1, as he's beginning this letter to the brethren who are in Rome, he makes this statement. He says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations. Here, I think, again, he's speaking of those who have been commissioned, specifically chosen, to then go out and reveal what he says in chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, speaking about his son who is descended from David according to the flesh, but was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. This is the message. And we have this apostleship. We have been chosen to go out and to reveal this message to the world and bring about obedience of faith for the sake of his name, for his glory among all nations. Paul says, that's my job. That's what I've been sent out to do. And of course, we see this in Acts 2:42, just in the simple reference where we began, that this is the apostles doctrine. The apostles have no problem in their letters, in their interaction with brethren, telling them the things that they need to do, and even telling them they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, or that they have the will of the Lord, and that they need to do what they're telling them to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, "Imitate me. Imitate my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church." A few chapters later, in chapter 7 and verse 17, he says, "This is my rule in all the congregations," speaking again to the Corinthian brethren, that Paul is going out and he's saying, "This is my rule. This is what I'm telling congregations to do. I have authority of God. I have the Lord on my side. He is inspiring me to speak." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15, "Stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter." 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul talks a little bit about his own role, saying he has this stewardship that has been given to him. And what I want us to understand from this, what I'm trying to help us grasp, is that this is not me or Jeff or someone else getting up here and preaching a message like we're doing tonight. This is not the same thing as what Paul and what Peter and what the others were doing. They have a very specific task. They aren't holding the New Testament in their hands as they go to Ephesus and Corinth and these various places and say, "Hey, you know, if you turn here, this is what God has told us to do." The apostles don't do that. They are that. They're writing all of this for us. They are revealing to us the mind of God with a special kind of authority, with a special kind of stewardship. And so what I really want us to understand about all of that is that we better pay close attention to the instructions. People taking these kinds of passages and thinking that God is somehow guiding them into all truth or has inspired them in some way to some kind of knowledge, they don't understand what's being said there. They come away with some idea that they have some special revelation from God. They don't understand what's being said here. We have to have respect for the reality of who the apostles are in the plan of God. I plan to have some things on the screen for you this evening, but for some reason it's not working, so we'll come back to those maybe at another time. But I'll tell you this, the early church understands this as well. They have no problem understanding the significance and the importance of who the apostles are and what they mean to the early church. Numerous times, they will say things about the apostles and their teaching and their doctrine and the fact that they revealed the gospel to us. That it is part of God's plan for them to be the foundation. That they are these special stewards that are bringing the will of God to the world. Let me suggest something to you about this, because sometimes people have some issues with this idea of apostolic authority. Let's bring you down a little trail that may help us kind of anecdotally think about the significance or the importance of these men and what they've done. Why is it among some groups that apostolic succession is so important? There are groups out there who claim to still have apostles of Jesus Christ. Why do they want to do that? Why is it so important for them? Because they understand all the things we've been talking about so far tonight. There may be things they don't understand. There may be things that they're not correct about. But there's one thing they certainly are correct about. And that is the power and the authority that the apostles have. As they read through the New Testament, they see the kinds of things that they say and the claims that they make and the authority that Jesus has granted them in places like John 14 through 16 or Matthew 16 or Matthew 28. They realize the significance of having someone who they can call an apostle in their midst, who can now speak authoritatively, who they believe can be guided in the truth and who can instruct them in a very special sort of way. And so really from the very beginning, there has been this idea or this concept of apostolic succession. Because people want to have that. They want to have this person here who can direct them in the truth and authority. They want to call upon this person, whoever it might be, and say, they have the mind of God. They can reveal the will of God. Because they understand how important Peter is, and how important Paul is, and John, and these others who write by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I really want to just bring us back here to the idea of instructions or pattern. When we think about Moses and the pattern that's given to him and the instruction that's given to him, and then what happens when Israel does not follow that pattern or those instructions. When they neglect to do what God has revealed to Moses and they don't build the temple in the way that God wanted them to build it. When I say that, I don't mean the physical structure, but the reality of what that meant, that God was in their presence and there's a certain way they were supposed to act as holy people, as God's people. When that doesn't work out the way it's supposed to, over time and eventually, God has had enough. And in the end, he comes in judgment. Because they end up not being what God intended for them to be. They didn't follow the pattern. The apostles are our pattern. They establish this foundation. They reveal the will of God. And we're able to build upon the foundation that they have given us. And understanding what is pleasing to God, what is his will. And we can be formed into this dwelling place for God in the Spirit, as Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. These living stones that come together who are building God's temple the right way. And the only way we know the right way is right here. And the reason that we have this is because Jesus sent the Spirit to give authority to the apostles and to confirm their word. Maybe tonight that you've struggled with this idea in your life. We've talked some about authority in the past few months in Bible classes and in some sermons, getting back to the basics. Maybe you struggle with this idea, and if you do, I would suggest more discussion on this. It's a problem in our world of people not wanting to submit to authority. But here's the reality of the situation. Jesus is king, and he is enthroned at the right hand of God. And he sent his apostles to accomplish this mission to reveal his will to us. He has given us the edicts here in Scripture, and we are to follow those edicts. We're to follow his will if we want to be pleasing to him. And it's as simple as that. And if we do what he has here, if we understand and we study and we search and we want truth and we do the will of God, he is going to give us the crown of life. He's going to give us the reward. I don't have to come up with things in my own mind. I don't have to come up with my own way. I don't have to listen to some other man's way and some other man's ideas. I just need to follow this. And you just need to follow this. Maybe you recognize that tonight. The message is pretty simple. Jesus came and he died for the sins of the world. We've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3. We were enslaved to sin. We were enslaved to the ways of the world. But Jesus offers deliverance. And he tells us, you come to Christ and you believe that he is the solution to the problem. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He has come to deliver us. And you change your life and you're baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you come out of the water, you're a new person. You've put off the old man and you're beginning to put on the new man. You're going to live for God. And that means you're going to do whatever it is that God says to do. And if you're ready to do that tonight, we're ready to help you. Maybe you've made that decision in the past. It could be that you've decided you want to do that before, but you've kind of backed off. Maybe it is once you were devoted to the apostles' teaching, but lately not so much anymore. And if you're here tonight, and you're listening to what we're doing tonight, and our singing and our prayer and our looking to Scripture, you're in the right place. And you can recommit. God is ready and he wants to receive you back into the fold. Can we help you? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together.